Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, we're glad you're here. We've had a good 3 hours, the last hour here on 570 KVI, and we appreciate you. In fact, if you enjoyed this program and you want to listen to it again because you think, holy cow, I need to hear that again, or my spouse needs to hear it, or my parents, or what have you, well, you can always go to our website, lmclinic.com, and push on the podcast button at the top of the page. And you'll not only see where we are every Saturday morning from 8 to noon, each hour is listed out, where and when and all of that good information. But we also have all of our previous programs on there. So on Monday, we usually have them up there by Monday. You can go back and listen to any portion of the show you'd like to. So again, you can figure that all out at lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button and you'll get that information. Now, we were talking to Craig from Tacoma, so Jerry, maybe you would like to just sort of finish that up. And Craig, do I still have you here online?
Yes, and then I have a short second question, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think we pretty well covered the first one. The lipomas, you know, they're just little fatty tumors, just a fat that's invested with a little membrane that gives it shape. You know, surgical intervention, if it's causing pain or impinging on other structures,
annoying to a degree.
Yeah, and, you know, you can inject them with a corticosteroid, or Dr. Umat tells me phosphatidylcholine. Mm-hmm. The injections can actually help to dissolve some of the fat inside the lipoma and shrink it. You know, there's also small liposuctions and stuff that can be done, which is a minimized sort of surgery. You don't need as big an incision, and you're not shelling it out and leaving a big hole where it was. So there are, okay, you know, there are ways to shrink them and get them smaller.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Your other question had to do – yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, the second part would be that I'm having hernia surgery this coming week. Got a little too aggressive with a Roman chair working out 6 months ago and didn't realize it, but – post-op, best supplements, best care as far as that kind of thing to smooth that healing process. I know I'm going to be using some ice a little bit, but anything as far as supplements? Okay.
No, you're not one of our patients, I take it.
In the process, but not directly, no.
All right. Well, I was going to say, if, you know, for the deep structures, for the muscle, the fascia, the deeper parts of the hernia repair, testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone are anabolic hormones that help you to grow new tissue and repair those deep structures much more efficiently. On the other hand, estrogens give us a much prettier and much more efficient growth of skin. And so, you know, using the systemic testosterone to help you grow the deep structures and repair the trauma from the surgery is very useful. And then using just a low-dose estrogen cream right on the surface of the wound as quickly as it's closed will help that skin healing with minimal inflammation and minimal scarring.
Yeah. So, I went through the testing process at the office a few months ago, and then we went through the COVID thing, and I lost part of my income due to that with the job I performed. So that was gave me a setback with regards to the pursuing the clinic for a few months. So, okay, well, I appreciate your time.
Wait. There are other things. Yeah. Hang on. You can do other things.
There are some other things you can do that are simple supplements.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So for immune support, make sure your vitamin D level is nice and high. You can take zinc as well as vitamin C to help your immunity so that you go through the procedure, you don't get sick. So make sure you're doing all of that. And then post-operatively, to decrease inflammation, curcumin or relief factor. So as soon as they allow you to take fish oils, you can start taking our relief factor. And I've seen so many people, countless people, improve their outcome after surgery with relief factor. Going in, preparing for it, make sure your antioxidants are nice and high. NAC, glutathione, CoQ10, those are all good things to take, okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'm on your D and the CoQ10. I do. So all great advice, and I appreciate you guys very much. Thank you for the show.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, and that opens up a line. We've got 2-3 lines open right now if you want to call in. We have almost 55 minutes before the end of the show. You call us right now at 1-888-312-5757. Jerry and Samira, we just got a text. I just got a text from Mary Thurison, one of our wonderful, wonderful staff at Longevity Medical Clinic. She works with a lot of the health analysis appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Hi, Pete, if you see this before the end of the show and have a few minutes, I would like Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat to address the roles visceral fat, belly fat, plays in overall health and weight loss. Thanks, Mary." I think she's got some neighbors and friends or what have you that are listening that she's been talking to, something to that effect. So can you take just a minute here?
Mm-hmm. Sure. There's actually two types of belly fat. There's the subcutaneous fat, that fat that is over the muscles and that you can sag and we can see. That fat is cosmetically unacceptable to many people, and they don't like the way it makes their clothes fit. But that is not the dangerous fat.
In other words, fat on your butt, your legs, not that big of
a
deal?
Right. It depends on.
Well,
it's hard on your ego.
Yeah.
It doesn't look the way you want it to look.
Yeah.
But that's not what's going to kill you. Okay. What will kill you is the visceral fat, the fat inside your belly. And that fat that is around your organs is a very active hormone, peptide, enzyme producing. It produces what we call inflammatory cytokines. It makes more than 80 different compounds from visceral fat. And those things that are produced by that visceral fat increase your risk of diabetes, heart attacks, stroke, dementia. They accelerate the degeneration of your joints, so your osteoarthritis and so on gets worse faster.
Cancer.
It raises your risk of a variety of cancers. It's actually estimated that somewhere between 20 and 22% of all the cancer in America is caused by visceral fat.
Well, that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little slow on the uptake here. You just made a statement that's kind of scary. What's that statistic again?
Somewhere between 20 and 22%, I've seen different numbers in different studies, of all of the cancer in America is caused by visceral fat. Fat kills people.
Yeah.
It causes dementia, heart attacks, strokes. It causes your joints to break down and cripple you. It raises your risk of cancers. Visceral fat is dangerous. It's the exact opposite of working muscle. The more muscle you've got and the more it works, the healthier you tend to be, the more growth factors and anti-inflammation and anti-cancer compounds you're producing. Fat is the opposite. And so, you know, we really, really pay a lot of attention to visceral fat. That's why every time you come to our office, mm-hmm. we put you on the InBody and we measure the amount of visceral fat you've got. And our goal, of course, is over time, we want that visceral fat layer to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, people are thinking that they're normal weight, and their weight is normal by all standards, and even our machine will say that. But when you look at their fat level, it's their body fat percentage that is rising. It's the visceral fat that has increased, and their muscle has decreased.
That's right. And so you can weigh the, quote, right amount.
Yeah.
And we call these the skinny fats.
Yeah, that's normal aging too.
Yes, they are skinny in that they don't weigh
a lot.
That's
right.
But their visceral fat layer is much bigger than it ought to be.
Right, right. And as they've gotten older, they've lost muscle mass, and their body fat percentage has increased. Their weight stayed normal, though.
So we talk about this because, for one thing, in our free health analysis appointments, this is why we include one of the two free tests in our health analysis appointment is this very special, quite unique in-body test.
And that's right. When you come to your free health analysis, you will get a measurement of your visceral fat.
And it's exciting. Like you said, it does your arm, your right arm, your left arm, your right leg, your left leg, and your abdomen. And it's really critical to know where the fat is.
Well, and where the muscle is.
And where the well, that's true, yeah, where the muscle is.
Remember,
both sides.
Muscle is anti-inflammatory. Muscle is healing. Muscle is growth. Muscle helps you to grow new brain cells. Okay? Fat is the opposite. Fat kills, muscle grows. There's two very different things. So we want to know how much muscle is in your arms, in your legs, and in your torso. We want to know how much fat is in your arms, your legs, and your torso.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. This is why we do it in the free health analysis appointment. I wasn't going to do it here, but I may as well say, for those of you people, we hear this all the time. You're skeptical. We understand you're skeptical. You may listen to us like the one lady told us earlier today, been listening for years, and she finally got over her skepticism, and now she's been a patient, I think she said 8 or 9 years, and she's so glad she got over the skepticism. That's why we did and came up with the free health analysis appointment almost 2 years ago, just to make it so easy for you to get over the skepticism. You know, you think, you hope, you pray that it'll work. Well, make the free appointment. You get the two free tests, a blood test for one thing, and then also the special in-body test. And as an incentive, we are now giving you a choice. You can either get $100 of free longevity supplements, or you can get our two free fitness books along with the exercise bands. That's also about $100 value. So you have your choice when you make an appointment. The good news, we have about 20 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland, through September 25th. I opened it up just a couple of days ago. We now have those appointments on your computer. You can go to our website through September 25th. Now, that means you're going to have to wait 2-3 weeks before you can get in, but for goodness sakes, do it. Grab one. They're on a first-come, first-served basis. You make your own appointment by going to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. It's easy, easy, easy to do. So we hope you will do that. And have your choice of two things, $100 of supplements, or it's about $100, the two free books, and the very nice exercise bands. Okay, that was a good call. Now, I've got three more callers already on hold. We're going to go to a break right now, about 1 minute. Whoops, no, we're right on time. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, Lane from Duval has a question about gamma radiation and its relationship, I think, to caffeine and chemotherapy and those kinds of things. Dave from Lakewood has a question about diabetes and low T, low testosterone. And Ken from Gig Harbor wants to know about the UroLift, related, obviously, to prostate enlargement. A lot of reasons for you to stay. Don't go far. We have 45 minutes to go. In fact, one line open. Why don't you grab it so that you can get your questions asked at 1-888-312-5757.
I'm a relatively new longevity patient, and I've been thoroughly impressed with how thorough the process is.
C-C-Rider,
You don't want to be in the car with me when Mitch Ryder comes on with this song.
Oh, yeah?
And several of his others. Because you need earmuffs and
deafening,
ear covers.
Deafening.
I'm the...
You're one of those guys that the car is bouncing up and down, and you think that everybody for 12 cars around wants to hear your music.
That's right. But I just love it when it gets into my cellular, deep into my... my soul and my flesh. That's just the way I am. Sorry. Hate to say it. All right. Mary, who texted in and wanted that explanation, she said virtually all, nearly all of the people that come in for the free health analysis appointment are really, really want that special in-body test. Because it is so indicative of whether you have a serious problem or not. And again, if you don't measure, you don't know. This is a perfect classic illustration. A lot of people, don't they, Jerry, when you go to a doctor, will have you hold on to that little machine that supposedly does your body fat stuff?
Yeah.
But it doesn't give any...
It only
it's
does...
It's not helpful.
Well, it only does across your upper torso, your chest.
I see, yes. Okay. So, but our in-body, like we say, it is so... detailed and so helpful, you actually then can make decisions based upon that information. So
absolutely.
All right, so that's good. Let us go to Lane in Duval. Good morning, Lane.
Well, good morning.
Hey,
A week ago or so, you were talking, it's kind of in relation to the Camino Island coffee stuff. You're talking about caffeine load with mice.
Yes.
And low, mm-hmm. medium, and high. And I don't want to get all Steinbeckian or anything, but really my question is about of mice and men. So,
all right.
How do you translate that into, you know, what's a high dose? What is it for humans? And its effect on IMRT, I think, is the acronym. I'm going to be having... chemo radiation therapy for colon cancer in a month or so, or I guess about 3 weeks. And so I'm wondering about the impact, and can I mediate some of the side effects by that and all that?
Okay. Well, I don't know what your radiologist and your oncologist are doing in regard to caffeine these days. There are some human studies in which they actually... catheterized the arteries leading to the tumors and put in caffeine directly into the tumor and then irradiated them and found that the tumors are far more susceptible to the radiation when there's a caffeine load. The tumors actually died more efficiently if they got caffeine with the radiation.
Wow.
So... now those are research studies. Those are not in, as far as I know, in clinical use. But then again, I'm not an oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the original studies were done on mice. And then the Sandista study I talked about with the gamma radiation, those were actually guinea pigs instead of mice. We do have some human studies showing that, caffeine has some fascinating impact on skin cancers and on some localized tumors. If there are other agents that they can now use that are more effective than caffeine, well, then I hope they're using them. But, I was just using this as an illustration that, coffee and its components, both the polyphenols and the caffeine, have some very interesting characteristics.
Yeah. Just finding literature on the skin, as you mentioned, Jerry, not finding literature on other types of cancers and radiation therapy, but definitely for skin cancers, yeah.
Yeah, I've got the old studies, but, these were mostly way back in the 90s, so you're probably not getting them on the more recent, because they start with... 2020 and work their way back.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go down many pages.
Right.
So, So basically, though, from these studies, like I've kind of cut off, I started doing green tea and green tea extract more so, but coffee is not going to be, according to the studies that you've read, they're not going to be, it's not going to be deleterious to what I'm looking to accomplish.
No, it shouldn't be. Although when it comes to cancers, the green tea polyphenols and the epigallic catechin gallate is probably far better when it comes to cancers than the coffee is.
Okay.
And so there's a lot more studies with ECGC and cancer than there are on caffeine with solid tumor cancers. The list of cancers that have been shown to be more responsive to the green tea catechins is very long. I think I put together a list at one time that had like 12 or 13 different tumors that had been shown to be responsive to those.
Melanomas, thyroid cancers, liver cancer.
Yep. Anyway, I guess that's...
The problem is that I kind of really missed my cup of coffee in the morning. I cut it out because I thought, you know, one is going to be better, and some of the things that happen here with the coffee and all that.
Yeah.
But it's probably not.
It's not going to be deleterious.
Moderate.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the best response with coffee is people who start their day with coffee and then take another dose of coffee after their midday meal. They kind of counteract that postprandial slump we get when we shift all of our blood supply to our gut after we eat. The coffee provides kind of a lift in that time frame. But so I normally do coffee in the morning, coffee after lunch, and then I hit teas the rest of the day.
Okay.
Okay, that's my personal regimen anyway.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Lane.
Thank you. For the call, sir.
Good call. Let's go to Lakewood and talk to Dave. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How can we help?
I'm in my car listening to rock music. Here, let me turn it down.
All right.
Anyway, my question is diabetic, and I had a testosterone test. It seemed like I want to remember it was 195. Does that sound really low?
Yeah, but that's pretty much typical for a diabetic man in his, you know, 50 and up.
Well, I'm 71.
Okay, so you're up. The range for a total testosterone is not unusual for that age group in that range. And diabetics tend to run lower testosterone than non-diabetics. So, you know, but generally, I'm shooting for 600 to 800 sort of range for most of my men for a total testosterone. Although I'm actually most interested in the free testosterone, the non-protein bound form. Gives me a better idea of what can actually get into your cells and do its thing. And there I'm shooting 150 to 180 sort of range. Most guys, diabetic in his 70s, I would predict your free testosterone is probably somewhere down in the 40s to low 50s.
Yeah, I generally do fine. I sleep well and all that, but I just feel like that there's that little edge I'm lacking. And obviously, knowing I'm watching diet, I've increased all the good supplementation, including very high amounts of vitamin D and K. And I read somewhere I've been studying where perhaps higher doses of D3 with K, you know, and associated magnesium over time, along with perhaps DHEA, might be able to bring that up naturally without doing any hormonal stuff.
To some extent, your problem is that your end organs are basically withering up and going away. You know, the testicles are 70-some years old. They're just not working as well as they did when you were 18. You know, and even
don't
if...
Tell them that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, even if your sex hormone stimulators. If you're kicking out your FSH and your luteinizing hormone, your follicle stimulating hormone, the end organ just can't respond like it used to. Mm-hmm. That's really what it comes down to. So,
okay.
Yeah, so all the stuff we're doing, you know, the male testicle is the analog of the female ovary, you know, and they start decreasing in effectiveness in their 40s. Women become less and less fertile. And then by their 50s, they're usually totally infertile because the ovaries are just giving up. You know, by menopause, a woman's estrogen level is down about 50% from her youthful range, but her progesterone is down around 75%, when that's really the trigger that stops her having menstruation, is the low progesterone. But testosterone in a woman of that age is also down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
It's down 75 to 80%. So it's just a part of aging. You know, we are supposed to get slower, weaker, fatter, dumber, less sexual.
Don't look at me.
And then, yeah, and then, you know, at some point wither up and die and get out of the way. The problem is we just don't want that plan. You know, it's fine for other folks, but certainly not for me. And,
amen.
You know, so
amen.
we want to prevent it. And that's, of course, what longevity is all about. We treat the normal, but undesired changes of aging.
I love it. I have a related question to my son. There's been obviously diabetes with my mom's side and then, you know, with me. And then he's 38. He's got metabolic syndrome. I know he's got a nice big fat belly going over the belt. Mm-hmm. He's got sleep apnea. And I just want your view, your opinion on which way he should pursue. Obviously, we all hear, well, you've got to lose weight. That's really hard to do for a lot of people.
Yes, it is.
Wondering
it is.
If he should go down the route of getting a more hormonal check, because I still maintain I believe his thyroid might be a little low. And I just wonder if that's a route he should maybe pursue when he gets more specialized care.
One thing that you said that's very, very important here is that diabetes and also weight loss. We put our diabetic patients to failure when we tell them to go to the gym and lose weight. They just don't have the endocrine support to succeed, and it really breaks my heart. They need so much more than just a weight loss program.
And it is not unusual to find men in their 30s or even early 40s that are diabetic and overweight, and when we do their hormone analysis, it looks like they're in their 70s. They just have horrible, horrible numbers.
It happens.
Yeah, it does.
Now, is that related to the adrenals?
To the adrenals, but basically to that total body inflammatory process that's coming from the combination of a sedentary lifestyle and the high body fat.
And sugars.
Yes, and the high sugars, the high insulins. These things just beat the hell out of people. And there's no one thing you can do to fix it. You have to approach the entire process, and that includes the endocrine system and the diet and the lifestyle.
And the thyroid.
Yep.
Hey, Dave, great call. Thank you so much for calling in. Great call, great questions. All right, with that, a quick break, and we'll be back with Ken, who has a question about the UroLift. That gets a lot of attention. If you've got an enlarged prostate or you think you might, you're going to want to listen to that. And then Kurt from Lake Forest Park wants to talk about using MSM related to loss of smell and maybe some other issues. So stick around. We'll be right back.
And I can tell you that my strength, my energy is great. I have two granddaughters who run Green Lake, and I can run right along with them.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
When you're smiling.
And the whole world smiles with you.
Smiles with you.
And when you're laughing.
When you're laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
Mm, when the sun comes shining through.
I'll go in the wintertime to supervise.
When you're crying.
When you're crying.
Ready.
35 minutes past the hour. We got 25 minutes to go. We have a couple of lines open. We will most likely get to you if you call with your question. Here's the number, 1-888-312-5757. 888 312-5757.
When you're dancing to that one, Samara, you're supposed to do the hand.
Hand thing, okay.
That's right.
The hand jives.
Only you guys can see it anyways. And Pete isn't paying attention, so it's okay.
Yeah, but I saw you doing the little fancy dance, but you got to get those hands up there.
Okay. I got it.
Well, I'm taking calls. I'm whatever. Forgive me if I don't stare in awe.
Well, if I do this.
If we're doing this, we're just making some other things.
Yeah, Louis Primos will make you do that. That is for sure.
Actually, I always think of Bourbon Street, New Year's Eve on Bourbon Street, and people are dancing a little bit wildly with that one.
Yes.
You know, okay. Now, Mary Thurston's husband, Roy, is getting involved. No, you figured he can text me. He's okay. Got a question. Right. He says, how do you reduce plaque in your arteries? Now, That's
a lot tougher one.
That's a
hard one. I mean, There are chelating agents, but Jerry, you looked at that for a long time because of cardiovascular risk factors.
Right. You know, probably the best thing I found really is something more akin to a protocol that was, I'm trying to think of what his name was. He's a doctor down in Texas. He wrote the Eat More, Weigh Less. Dean Ornish.
Okay.
Yeah. to the Ornish protocol, which is an extremely low fat, high fiber diet.
Freaky miserable diet.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
I did it for 6 months once, and I have not met many people that can do it for more than 6 months. But he has got some wonderful arteriograms of arteries that were 90% narrowed. And the people who went on his program in over an 18-month period opened those arteries up to 50%, which is a dramatic improvement in
really
blood flow.
Really big time.
Yeah. Pulled a lot of that plaque out of their system. It's a rigorous diet. It's a tough one. But, you know, if you can do it, it seems to work.
Yeah, but you also went to a course where they were using IV chelating agents to help reduce plaque burden.
Right.
But that's a little, they have proven that they can do it, but it's not risk-free.
It's not only not risk-free, but it's most effective in diabetics.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The plaque burden was not significantly reduced in normal people. But in diabetics, they got a significant reduction. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure what the metabolic difference is why an intravenous chelation program would help with diabetics, but not the rest of us.
Right.
But
the side effects were horrendous. We don't have it in our clinics, but I know that we were enthused about it because we thought if we can reduce plaque, goodness, we should find out.
Yes. But two problems. A, it did not do a significant improvement in non-diabetics, and B, our insurance company would not cover us if we did it.
Yeah.
They dropped us.
Okay. Yeah.
The injuries and deaths associated with the procedure are too high.
Yeah.
Got it. Let's go to Gig Harbor. Talk to Ken. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello.
You're on the air, sir.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for the program and the podcast. I've learned a lot from both.
Well,
I have a question on a procedure called UroLift. I was wondering if you've heard of it. Obviously, you probably have, but what's just your comments in general?
UroLift, I was fascinated by UroLift, 6-7 years ago when it first came out. I'm less enchanted as time goes on. My new favorite
is
sold under the brand name Resume.
Yeah.
My second most favorite would be a arterial embolization, arterial embolization.
So Resume is spelled R-E-Z-U-M-E.
Yeah. And Resume is what they basically do is they go through the urethra up the penis. They have a needle that actually bends sideways and pokes a little tiny hole through the urethra into the prostate tissue, and then they inject a small burst of high-temperature steam and basically cook little pieces of the prostate with a burst of steam. And it usually takes, 3 or 4 injections. They'll go around the prostate and get some here, some there, some over in the other spot. But that then kills enough of the prostate tissue but it doesn't damage the urethra. All
Correct.
You've got is a couple of needle sticks through the urethra.
And that's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
No, yeah. Yes, it is a big deal, and the needles only last about a second each, and they're done. They're in
that's
and
right.
out. So that's how they don't damage the urethra. Yeah.
So it's very fast, very easy, but it shrinks the prostate by actually reducing prostate tissue at several spots around the circumference.
Right.
And so it's the least invasive form I've seen so far to actually shrink that prostate. Now it's got, those are its advantages. You got enough inflammation and swelling at first. You may need a catheter for several days, but that passes quickly. You don't get all the bleeding and the problems you do with more traditional resections of the prostate.
The 5-year studies for Rezūm are very good, actually, mm-hmm. and so insurance companies are starting to cover this.
Right.
So that is the other advantage of this procedure, that it is covered
as opposed
by
to the arterial embolization, which is not covered by insurance. Yeah. So this is a, you know, it's a newer one. I think that it's got better potential for shrinking the whole volume. The UroLift, which you're talking about, doesn't really shrink the mm-hmm. prostate. It's basically kind of a staple that has two different ends, and it goes from the urethra up in through the prostate, and then it expands the outer staple, and it compresses and squishes the prostate. But you haven't really debulked it. You've squished it in an effort to open the urethra so you pee better. I think I'd rather just debulk and shrink the whole prostate.
Yeah, and what happens is if the underlying prostate gland continues to increase, then you have to go in for a revision of the UroLift. So I've seen that patients do need to do that over time.
Yeah. So my new favorite is the
Rezūm.
Okay, good. That's good information. I've done some research on UroLift. And I've done research on the PAE, the prostate arterial embolization. Actually, I met mm-hmm. Mary Johnson up at the UW Medical School. And sounds like a good procedure. But I don't know much about Rezūm, so I'll have to take a look at that.
Hang on. What was your experience with Dr. Johnson? How did that go?
Well, it was good. I made an appointment other than the drive up there. It took 2 hours to get up there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Terrible location. But he's a nice guy. He specializes mostly in tumor reductions or, you know, cancer is his main thing. But he does this prostate arterial embolization kind of also.
Okay.
Right.
But
okay.
He wanted me to go away and try some medications. And I met with him last November. And he wanted me to try things like terazosin and finasteride and all those. None of that stuff works for me. And I'm to the point where I'm relieving myself 25 times a day. And it's
That's not acceptable. No, there are several doctors in the area that are doing the Rezūm. So, you know, get online, look it up, look at some videos.
Yeah, and the PAE is not covered by insurance.
Right, whereas the Rezūm is now. Right.
Okay. One quick question. I had a LPA, lipoprotein test score, and I was way high. The normal range is 0 to 75 on 313. A coronary calcium score that came out real high. So to make a long story short, I have a cardiologist put me on a statin, baby aspirin, high blood pressure, and 2,000 milligrams of nicotinic acid, niacin, the flush type. Mm-hmm. Wondering what your opinion is on that quantity of niacin.
It's a big whack.
Yeah, and I have seen them use that before. They do need to use a higher dose to get results. Unfortunately, it causes a lot of side effects, and a lot of times patients can't tolerate it.
Like what?
Flushing. They can you can use the and
you just
also
feel like you're going to have a stroke sometimes. Yeah,
and also liver. It liver enzymes can get inflamed.
Yeah, I heard that. My concern was, how do I know if it's damaging my liver or not?
You just do liver enzyme studies.
You have to. But the other thing, too, was if the HDL does improve with that, is that going to reduce the risk for a heart attack? And that's what's controversial with niacin.
Yes, it is. Yeah, what we're finding is that naturally occurring high HDL is protective. But so far, most of the studies that are looking at artificially elevated HDL with things like niacin, while the HDL goes up, the protective effect that we see with naturally occurring high HDL is much less pronounced. So I'm a little iffy on that for now.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm grateful for this program, because if I didn't have this, I'd just follow the advice of the doctors that I have, and they don't get into much detail at all. I wanted to let you know that I think the longevity cruise would be a great idea. I'd like to see Dr. Mixon do the political show. Right.
Well, wait a minute now. He's not inviting me. How can it be a great idea?
Wait a minute. Now I need to ask you,
Ken. See, if I invite you, I've got to take Sunil, too.
Right, you do.
I have this policy against taking people's wives with me and not taking the husbands.
Right.
So, Ken, let me ask you this question. Are you serious? Would you consider attending, joining us on the cruise?
I would, yeah. I love
cruising. Interesting. Yeah, me too. I'm a fanatic. We were supposed to be on
the virus, though.
No way you're getting me on a cruise ship right now.
No.
You might not get off for 6 months.
Right. Yeah, I was supposed to do a 2-week cruise this last June. We obviously had to cancel it, especially when it started and ended in Rome, last place on the planet you want to be. Hey, Ken, thanks for your call.
That's actually a great idea, Jerry. I think sometime you should definitely do that. Yeah.
Oh, and by the by, you mentioned the political show. I've actually, I'll say it when I come back.
Well, Okay.
Let's go.
We will be back before you know it. We'll talk with Kurt when we come back from Lake Forest Park. He has a question about loss of smell and the use of MSM. But we have time for another call, I think. So give us a call at 1-888-312-5757.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guy was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program, and he came out about the third inning, and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour in your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me as she pretends? Is this a game? Well, then will I win? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got about 10 minutes to go, so let's get to it. Let's head to Lake Forest Park and talk with Kurt. Kurt, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested. I lost my sense of smell probably 20. I'm 83 years old, by the way. I lost my sense of smell probably 25 years ago, something like that. In my youth, I was a very heavy smoker. That may or may not have been related to it. And also, I have bad allergies, and then that kind of screws up that whole nasal area. But anyway, I was looking in a glancing through one of these old people's pharmacy, write the doctor type columns. Mm-hmm. And somebody had said that they were taking MSM to help their hair growth. They took 1 gram 3 times daily, and in a week or so, their sense of smell had returned. Now, they had lost their sense of smell under a different reason, but I'm curious if you know anything about that. Is there anything to that? I'd sure like to smell a bowl of theater popcorn or maybe a pot of coffee over a campfire one more time before I give it up.
Absolutely. I just don't know if the methyl sulfonylmethane is going to do the job. Methyl sulfonylmethane is a common compound. It's found in lots and lots of vegetables. It's a high sulfur donor, which is what our bodies like to use it for. I did see one similar to you. It was actually an article in the Seattle Times in which a reader wrote in saying that he had used MSM to restore his sense of smell very successfully.
Probably the same article, Doctor.
Maybe. But, MSM is promoted for all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the websites that are selling it, it's supposed to do everything from your skin, your digestion, your sexual potency, your arthritis, your whatever. Kind of the modern snake oil that cures whatever ails you. But the scientific literature is really sparse. I have never really seen an article that, you know, that said that this is significantly approved or found to help any one thing in particular. So I don't know. I've never recommended it. I don't carry it as a supplement in our clinics.
So, no idea
if it would help or not.
Would it hurt if you took it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
My problem is I don't know what the toxic dose would be.
I agree. I don't know either. But, you know, you see a lot of glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM supplement combinations on the market for pain and inflammation.
Yes.
And so if you were to just pick up one of those and try that.
And use the recommended dosing, you'd probably be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious you'd say that. I'm looking at a glucosamine chondroitin MSM complex bottle as we speak. Of course, it's a low price one, and it's silent as to how much of it, these different things are in it. Incidentally, I meant to mention, I went through your health analysis with Tim over at your Kirkland office here about a week ago. Uh-huh. And I'm scheduled to come in and see one of the doctors there to take the next step on September 11th, which is kind of an interesting number.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that this September...
for a lot of people. And I'm curious, I could ask my doctor at that time, at least address the issue of loss of smell. Maybe there are other things, or maybe you could comment, are there other... treatments or remedies or ideas on that?
Interesting. Loss of smell is one of those things that have so many potential causes. And it is common with older people that sensitivity to smell diminishes. It doesn't usually go away.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's an enormous human variation. For some people, the diminishment is much earlier and more profound than other people.
Sure.
We know that, for instance, it can be an early warning sign of cognitive decline. There's actually smell tests you can do, and if people don't smell well, then you really want to watch their cognition carefully.
Right.
COVID is famous for COVID is famous for knocking out the sense of smell. Although yours was 20 some years ago, so obviously it wasn't COVID.
But you know, he also mentioned that he was a smoker and he had a lot of allergies. So it makes me think about the ear, nose, and throat.
Yes.
So I'm sure you've gone that route before, though, right? You had somebody look for nasal polyps or things like that, nasal passages, sinus disease.
Again. Oh, 15, 20 years ago, I saw a nose specialist. You see, my 83-year-old is kicking in now. That word has escaped me. The name for that
ENT,
kind of a doctor.
ENT. Ear, nose, and throat doctor. ENT.
I was thinking. But anyway.
Otolaryngologist.
There you go. It's common as postnasal drip type thing at your age. There's not much we can do about it. I'm hoping that's one of the things I'm going to address with my doctor at Longevity and hopefully get some better answers than you're just getting old. And certainly speaking of that, I have an appointment, as I say, at the Kirkland Clinic on September 11th. Is there more than one female doctor in the clinic over there?
There is, yes. You've got Dr. Brazel and Dr. Umet. So your odds are 50-50.
Okay. Well, I was curious because it is with a female doctor because we discussed whether I had a problem with a female doctor or something. I certainly did not. But I thought the package I came out with would probably have the doctor's name in it, and it doesn't. So I suppose I'll find out when I get there which of the two ladies it is.
Yeah. My guess is probably Dr. Brazel because she's taking the vast majority of the new patients right now. I've got Dr. Umet tied up as my assistant medical director, and I've put her on so many administrative chores, she doesn't have as much time for patient care. But we'll see.
So In essence, Kurt, thank you so much for your call, and good luck. We're glad you grabbed one of those free health analysis appointments and are coming in. That's terrific news. In fact, let me just share with you that, again, we talked about this about an hour and a half ago, but I'll mention it again. We are growing. We are expanding. Therefore, we are opening up even more free health analysis appointments. It's very, very good news. But you're going to have to wait a little while. We've opened up the calendar for the free health analysis appointments all the way till September 25th. So we have about 20 of these appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Kirkland, and Linwood. But you need to go now. But we've even sort of doubled down and given you an incentive. You can get the free $100 of longevity supplements or the two exercise books or fitness books along with the two the exercise bands as well. Just as a little extra incentive and thank you. Go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. You can schedule your own appointment. Have a good weekend.